Hey babes, welcome to Bravo Group Chat, a weekly podcast about your favorite Bravo celebrities.
Join us as we dive into the reality behind reality TV.
We're Bravo Group Chat.
Welcome back, guys, to Call Me Monday. Today, we are super excited. We are interviewing fellow Pittsburgher, Leah Pardy, who is an author, alignment mentor, podcaster, all the things. How you doing, Leah? Thanks for joining us.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you, guys.
So what part of Pittsburgh are you currently are in Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, I'm in Eternal Heights.
Oh my gosh, I'm from Lower Borough. So that's
no like, way.
Yeah, no one like ever knows, I feel like, past Fox Chapel. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I literally say I live like 20 minutes past Fox Chapel.
Yeah, the first time I took my, he's from the South Hills. So the first time I took him out to Laura Brawl, he's like, where the hell am I? I feel like I'm in Narnia right now.
Oh my gosh. Where do you guys live?
Where, I live in Beachview.
In the city, yeah. South Side.
Okay.
I'm cool. Originally from Penn Hills though. So I'm from over that area-ish too.
Cool.
Yeah. So let's kind of break down a little bit, like what you do, how you kind of got into this, you know, as a breathwork facilitator and an alignment mentor. How did you get into this field?
Yeah, so it all started, it's been a couple of years now, I guess almost 3 years ago, I first started everything. And what really happened was I had been working in sales. I was a sales rep. I was like super into the hustle and the grind, and I became a sales manager. And through coaching salespeople and being in sales myself, I realized just how important mindset was in that field. And then it started to bleed into other areas of life. And I thought, wow, there's so much we can, like we have this limitless potential inside of us, but we're so limited by our mindset. And I started diving into all of that. And confidence was a big part of that too. And I started wanting to share what I was learning with more people outside of my sales department. So I started a blog, and that was like almost 3 years ago. But very quickly, I like dove into like the spiritual side of things, you know, how it kind of bleeds together. And I started listening to podcasts and reading all the books and got really into that side of things too. And within a few months of starting my blog, I became a life coach because I discovered that was a thing. So I became a coach. It felt like a really good fit. And then I started my podcast. Ever since then, I've just been kind of seeing where the journey takes me. I've been really open to, you know, trying new things, letting things, you know, be a flop if it happens, and trying
something else to kind of figure out like my sort of niche and where I am, where I work best with everything. So these days I do a lot of work with, I'm an alignment mentor. So I work with people as a coach, really to help them tap into their potential, tap into their intuition, a lot of manifestation, and just helping them stay on track for their goals. Breath work became a part of that because I was really into meditation, still am. But I noticed that with people with meditation, it's like we're in this world where we're so busy all the time. If we're not busy for 5 seconds, we're on our phone.
Yep.
You know, like today I was in the doctor's office and I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, I don't really need to be on my phone right now, but I'm gonna get on my phone and go on social media, right? It's like we're so distracted. So I gained so much from meditating, but I found that for so many people, even just a few minutes of meditation, it's like you go insane because you're just not used to that stillness, you know? Mm-hmm. So I got into breath work because, I mean, there's a couple different benefits to it, but one thing it does is shuts off the default mode network of the brain, which is like that monkey mind chatterbox, overthinking, constant, all the different noise in your head, right?
Yeah.
It kind of shuts that off, which allows you to enter into stillness much easier. So I wanted to kind of bring that to people. So that's become a big part of what I do. And I host retreats. I do workshops in Pittsburgh where I live, to teach online. So Yeah,
we have a lot to talk about because Dominique and I are two very high strung people. And we have a friend, Jamie, who is very not high strung. And I do try to be more like her. And I feel like you probably do too.
Totally.
She is into meditation and breath work and all the good things that you talk about. And I have a really, really, really hard time relaxing. And I think you probably do too. Like totally. Really actually relaxing our like minds. I can relax my body, but I cannot relax my mind. Like even sometimes when I go and get a massage, I have to ask for like a cloth or a towel to put over my eyes to force myself to remain like, it just helps me in some way. How do you start with someone like us that are kind of neurotic, high strung people?
Well, that's funny because that's exactly how I was prior to really? This journey. Oh my gosh. I was perfectionist, workaholic, hustle. I still hustle. Like I still work hard. It's just, I've learned to implement periods of relaxation. I remember though, like having this conversation when I was in sales of, hey, I go on vacation and I'm on the beach and I can't relax. Actually, I'm having more anxiety than ever because I'm not productive. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here trying to relax, but it feels like I should be doing something.
Yes.
And for so many people, yeah, that's just such a common thing, which is really sad. That we just don't know how to relax. We don't know how to chill. And, you know, I think for me, it's just building a very disciplined meditation routine, starting very small. So in the beginning, I would do like 3 minutes in the morning and 3 minutes right before bed. Then it was 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes right before bed. And that made such a huge difference. I used to lay in bed at night and I used to just think about how my boss wrote me this email and tomorrow I have to do this and catastrophizing.
We know what you mean.
Yeah, like just literally laying in bed manifesting worst case scenarios in my head. And I find that just like 5 minutes of meditation before bed like made such a difference. So getting really disciplined about just doing a few minutes a day of that and keeping it consistent really, really helped me. And then like a big part of what I do is like little things, like when I'm washing the dishes, I just try to remember that, like trying to remember to be in the moment, just mindfulness. So like focusing on the feeling of the water on my hands and the sounds I'm hearing and the smells. And same thing when I'm showering or walking up the staircase, can I hear the sound of my feet? So all day long, I've just made a habit of coming back to the present moment over and over and over. When I get a massage, same thing. I know what you mean. Your mind's just bouncing everywhere. You're like, why am I thinking about my to-do list? I'm trying to relax.
Yeah.
But it's a practice. It's let me feel this fully. And then your mind wanders off just like it does in meditation. And you just pull it back to the present moment. And making that like a habit and a lifestyle is such a game changer because it opens up so much space where we waste so much time overthinking and, you know, worst case scenario planning, when if we were just in the present moment, then we have more space that when our divine ideas come in, we can like capture them, mm-hmm. you know, we can capture the moment more and it just makes life just better overall.
Yeah.
I need that so bad. So I literally have thought about this a lot recently. When I say recently, I mean, probably within the last couple of months, I noticed myself like, even when I shower, I'm listening to a podcast, like my phone is in the shower with me. Like that's not normal. I am downstairs and I go upstairs to just go to the bathroom. My phone is still in my hand. Like, why do I have to have my phone in my hand to just go to the bathroom? Yeah. Like it's all, even if I'm not necessarily like looking at it or whatever, but it's just always there. Say I'm watching a TV show, a commercial comes on, I grab my phone and I've been trying to make the decision, like put it down or leave it, like just go. What I'm a religious person and I try to every night, like I'll say my prayers at night as kind of like a way to, decompress. And then I try to, and I don't always do it, but in the morning, like you said, with like the meditation, this is, I guess, not exactly meditation, but a form of it, just to like stop and be like, you know, thank you for today. Like, it's going to be a good day, and just kind of give myself, even if it's, you know, just 30 seconds before, like when I wake up, stop myself from grabbing that phone initially. And even just seeing what time it is, just to be like, okay. And then you can kind of maybe, but I feel like it's kind of starts with just making those little changes. And if people are like intimidated to go straight on to meditation, just make the decision to not engage with all the different, you know, outlets and everything we have going on around us, can kind of help lead up to that. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah. It is like a lot of the little things, like, yeah,
gratitude and prayer is so powerful. And like having those little times in the day set aside that you do those things. Something that I do, especially as someone who works on social media, I've had to really get strict about my phone, because it was hard before I was working on social media, but now the dopamine, the addiction to checking, because it's constant, someone validating me. I'm always looking who's in my messages. Maybe someone likes my thing today. Yeah. Right. So I'm pretty good about it. I'm not 100%, but like, I really don't get on social media. So I really don't get on my phone past like 5 PM.
Amazing.
Yeah. And in the morning I get up around 6. I don't get on my phone until typically like 8. Now I'm not perfect, but I try to like really stick to that, because it just forces me to not be constantly consumed. Otherwise I would be checking the damn thing every 5 minutes.
Yeah. I definitely struggle with that. I have been trying to around like 9 PM stop checking like my notifications, because I find that if I'm laying in bed and if I look at my phone or something, if I open TikTok or open Instagram and I have notifications, I go to check that one notification. And then an hour later, I'm still on my phone and I'm like, holy shit, where did that hour go? What did I just do? And sometimes it's helpful, because it's like, I've learned a lot on TikTok, you know, so I've learned about manifestation and, you know, meditation and things like that on TikTok. But then I'm like, I need to actually like implement that into my life.
Wonder what on earth life was like before smartphones.
I literally think about this all the time. So even when it comes to like, so my husband and I just bought a house, and it can literally associate with anything. But if you are curious about something, I just said to my parents on Thanksgiving, I said, if you didn't know something, or like my brother just had a baby and they're Googling every little thing it does, what did our parents do? Like, they just either had to leaf through a book, or they just like let it ride. If we need to like figure out how to fix something, you know, we are so used to just being able to grab our phone. I think personally, I could benefit from like a week in 1955 or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just even think like a couple years ago, probably, I would say maybe about 10 years ago, I used to read like 2 to 3 books a week.
Damn.
And I was a huge reader. And
that's a fast reader.
Yeah. I mean, I read all of the Game of Thrones books like super quick. Like I read all of the, you know, the Hunger Games books. And that was when like the 50 Shades of Grey books were out. Like I was just like banging books out. I mean, I would go on vacation like to the beach. We would go every summer, and I would take like 5 books with me, and not like little tiny books. Like I would take big books. And I think now I'm like, oh my God, I can't even tell you the last time I finished a book.
And you do Audibles. So you're still like technology.
Right. Now I listen. I love reading, but I download books now most of the time. I listen to books on my drive to and from work a lot of the time. And I noticed though that recently I've been trying to have nothing on in the car, because in the morning, sometimes I'm like, I don't want to listen to any music. I don't want to listen to any podcast or any book, you know, on Audible. And I listen to nothing sometimes. And then I'm thinking, is this better or worse? Like, am I not paying attention to what I'm doing, or am I paying attention better? Like, I haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah. I feel like there's also this part where people like us who are driven and want to improve our lives and live our best lives, there's also this part where it can be like too much. We like, for me, I get like, I'll just be like in deep thought about just like what you said. Well, should I be like listening to a podcast, or should I be reading a book, or should I be in silence? What's the best thing?
Right.
I think, wow, sometimes I want to be someone who just doesn't give a fuck about personal growth. So not be
exactly.
We have to not be so hard on ourselves about, it's like having a balance between like, yes, I'm like really into having a disciplined practice, and like, yes, I like force myself to go to yoga most of the time. I never want to go. I force myself, but it's also like giving ourselves grace to be human. It's that balance is hard for me.
It is. Speaking of yoga, our friend that I mentioned earlier, I went it was right before COVID actually like started last year. She took me to a gong meditation class. And at first I was like, this sounds like a Jamie thing. And I wasn't sure that I was going to be into it. And it was the coolest thing ever. And you basically, have you ever done like gong meditation?
No.
It was really cool. So it was at a yoga studio, and you laid down on a yoga mat and they just played different gongs and did like a guided meditation. And I really did not know that I was going to enjoy it as much as I did. And I just asked Jamie the other day, like, let's go to another one because it was really, really cool. And I would like to be able to do something like that, you know, pretty frequently, because I think it was beneficial.
I think going into speaking to manifestation, going into 2022, this is a really cool thing to talk about. And, you know, something that, so I actually, last year on December 1st, I got myself a journal and I wrote down a list of things that I wanted for 2021. And then I kind of kept it as like a daily journal. But even if I didn't want to like, didn't feel like writing out like what I did that day, I rewrote like my manifesting for 2021. And I wrote the list of items, and it grew and grew and grew. And it's really cool now to go back and look and see the things that came to fruition. And I think you know, with December 1st approaching this week, I'm like getting ready to do that again. And one of the things is getting a healthier mind. And that's why I was so excited to talk to you. And even pick up some tips for you from manifesting and how you've implemented that into your life.
I love that. Yeah, it's so like setting intentions is so powerful. And I feel I think for me, setting intentions can be right, like writing things down like that. I do a lot of intention setting through prayer, just asking for guidance, trusting that it's going to be there. Manifesting tips. I mean, I feel like it's one of the biggest things, you know, it's like, who am I being? I think we're so focused on the end result. And yes, we do want the thing and the end result, but we want it because there's a feeling that we perceive is going to be there when we have the new thing or the new, you know, career, or the new job, or the new home or car or vacation. Like, why do we actually want those things? Mm-hmm. And like looking into the feelings behind them, because we can give ourselves feelings at any time. And that's actually like the most powerful way to get there is like, okay, what are the intentions I truly want for my life? Why do I want these things? How does it all, like, what are the feelings behind it? And then how can I start to feel that more now? And that's how we start to just like step into a reality where we are being that elevated version of us who already has that life. So we're basically like kind of acting as if, kind of like pretending in a way, but gratitude is a huge part of that, because it's like, how would I feel right now if I already was living in that reality? Well, I would be grateful, right? So let me be grateful now. I think that's where manifesting can be a challenge, because a big part of it, like the highest vibe, is love and gratitude. So to be in that state of love and gratitude when we're so focused on the thing we want and the fact that we don't have it yet, that's a hard balance to find. But for me, like just constantly reminding myself to be in gratitude, because it is a practice. It is something you have to work towards and set intentions towards, but being in a state of gratitude for all the little things along the way and trusting that that is going to bring you into the feeling of having already what you want. it's like there's like a pendulum where like one side of it is only being hyper focused on our goals and only thinking about what we want, and that results in us thinking about how we don't have it yet. And then the other side is being in total surrender, where we're like, oh, I'm just happy for what I have. I don't really need anymore, right? There's like, there's a balance in there where we have a vision board and we have goals and things we believe we get to have. But we're also super grateful for what we have right now in the present moment. And I always say to my clients, like, surrender plus certainty equals manifestations, with like balancing on this pendulum and catching yourself when you're kind of swinging too far in one direction, whether that's being super like what we talked about, you know, being someone who's like hyper focused on the results, right? Like, I used to be so obsessed with the results and just really constant hustle mind, you know, type A. And then the other side is just being so in flow that you're just like, la, 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 I don't need anything else. Finding that middle ground and reminding yourself to live in there in the present moment and the gratitude, and acting as if all of that. It's like this beautiful mixture. But I think when we're in that happy medium place, that's when we're the happiest too, because we're working towards our goals and we're happy in the meantime.
I love that.
I have two questions from what you said. So I don't know, are you a Bravo TV fan at all?
I'm not.
Okay. So I will say characters. One of the people on Bravo TV previously was Kim Zolciak-Bierman. And something that she always, always, always says is ask, believe, and receive. Is it something, do you think that people who are quote unquote lucky, or like lucky in love or in life or in riches, do you think that's just actual luck, or do you think it's because they manifested something for themselves and or that they were in the right mindset?
Yeah, that's such an interesting question. I actually think about that a lot, because I do feel like, you know, I think there's multiple things can be true at once. I feel like I worked really hard to get to where I am and to have, you know, I had 4 promotions in 4 years, and that got me really far before I even started my business. And that involved hard work and dedication. And at the time, I didn't know anything about manifesting, but I definitely, mindset had a lot to do with it. I just believed I could have these results, right? So I didn't realize I was manifesting, but I was. So I think there is some luck. I think, you know, I was born to a family where I was able to have parents who encouraged me to like study for the SATs and apply to college. That's a huge blessing, right? Like, there's things that are luck. I think I also was born, I'm kind of a peppy person. I'm pretty outgoing. And although I used to be petrified of public speaking and had to like work really hard to like be confident with it, I still like have a personality that I think benefits me. So like, there is some luck, right? Mm-hmm. I was born into certain circumstances. But I think if we don't believe we can have something, it doesn't matter what gets dropped in front of us, mm-hmm. you know, that's where the manifesting comes in. It's like, if we have limitations that we perceive are there, we're going to create the same reality over and over and over, date the same douchebag guy, you know, just like manifest the same things over and over. Yeah. It's like, it's kind of both though, to be fair.
I'm a big believer of you get back from the universe what you put out. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like what you're saying, you know, mm-hmm. if you put out a positive attitude, and because we all know those people in our lives that every single day is negative and grumpy, and there's always something going wrong. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure if we all wanted to pick apart our lives, we could find something wrong with every single day, but like, that's not the energy that you want to put out there, because then that's all you're going to live in. And then that just makes you unhappy, and back to that gratitude thing, you're ungrateful. And then you don't appreciate the fact that you just woke up today, that both of your parents are maybe alive still, like the little things in life that some other people would like, that you don't appreciate, that other people would kill to have.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. My follow-up question too, with that was, So I've been seeing a lot of people post on like reels and TikToks about how they thought that they had like anxiety and depression, and then that it's actually like ADHD that was misdiagnosed. Oh, really? And I think that it's, I mean, I've honestly thought of it about myself. And do you think that it's more of a generational thing too, because of social media? I mean, is that something that you know anything about? Do you work with clients that suffer from either anxiety, depression, or ADHD? Because I do feel like that it does tie into all everything that we're talking about too.
Yeah, that's interesting. I definitely think there's something. I don't see how, you know, I'm not sure exactly what the number is, but it's like over 30% of people are on medication for these things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It may be over 50%. I'm not sure. I know it's a huge number.
It's a lot,
yeah. It's a lot. And there has to be something, whether it's underlying things, it could be ADHD, it could be unresolved trauma, it could be perspective, to be honest. I mean, I used to have really bad anxiety. I used to really feel like my life, I used to think, speaking of luck, I used to think I got handed a shitty hand of cards because I grew up not very well off. But like I just mentioned, I had parents that said, hey, here, we're going to apply to college and you're going to go to college. That is a privilege that many people do not have, right? But I used to not see that because all I saw was, well, I have friends whose parents gave them a car for college and paid for their student loans. So right. I have nothing. Like I used to be such a, like I had a victim mindset big time. And when I realized that and started meditating and journaling, I realized I didn't actually have anxiety anymore. So I think there's a lot of different things that go into it. I do work with a lot of people who have anxiety and depression, but if they have something serious going on like that, I always recommend that they work with a therapist. And most of them already worked with a therapist before working with me as a coach, because it is quite different. I mostly work with people on their goals and putting habits into place and accountability for that and believing in what they can do. But yeah, I definitely think there's a lot we can do to help ourselves with anxiety and depression. And, you know, it's a tough thing to talk about, but there's a lot we can do for ourselves. And I think we live in a culture where we want to put band-aids on things. We don't want to get to the root cause. The doctor doesn't have time to talk about that. He just says, here's a medication, which by the way, has side effects and will lead to you having to have more medications, but it's all just part of the big pharma fucking game.
Yeah. 100%.
Cause listen, I'm not going to lie. I'm on medication for anxiety and I have been for probably 15 years. And just recently though, I've been thinking like, do I actually need this? Or is there something else that I can be doing to help better my symptoms, I guess I want to call them. And I struggle with it all the time.
See, I'm like different. My mom, with the best intentions possible, has always said to me, like, I think you need to be like put on something. And I've always said, no, I don't. I know that everyone's different, but I know for me personally, it's a 100% a mindset situation that I can dictate and control like as I wish, but everyone's different. You know, some people, like you said, people have trauma and you can't just you can't just fix that sometimes by yourself. You need like, you know, help. But I think even if you do like need medicine, there's absolutely no shame in it. There's no shame in going to therapy. And I think our generation and the younger generations are kind of starting to normalize that a lot more than the older generations, which is so good. But it's kind of like, okay, like you need this now, but then it's like it's a stepping stone to help as we work through these other things to get you to a, you know, a steady living, like, so you can just live quote unquote happy and normal, I guess, you know?
I used to be very ashamed. I mean, I didn't tell anybody that I was on medication for a really long time. And now I talk about it on my blog. Like, I don't care if people think of me a different way. It helps me, you know, and
for sure.
But I think you're right though. I think it is definitely becoming less taboo.
Yeah. Now let's talk about your soul guiding sessions and stuff like that. What goes into those? Tell us about those.
Yeah. So basically it's just a coaching call with me. Very similar to what I do with my one-to-one clients. And essentially what I do is, you know, typically there's a goal of some sort. For a lot of people, it is anxiety. What can I do to manage this? For a lot of people, it's, I can't relax. What can I do to manage that? Or people have goals with starting a business or growing their business, starting a podcast. Maybe they want to look into a career change, right? So they have some type of something that they want, a goal that they have, whether that's a feeling in a different way, you know, happiness and confidence, or a specific like outcome goal that they're looking for. But yeah, usually those sessions, people come in with something like that. And I help people to break down some of their limiting beliefs. So I think being a coach or a mentor, for me, with who I, like when I've been coached in the past, one of those powerful things is just seeing how someone else exists. So like if someone's telling me their limiting beliefs, I'm like, listen, no, like, no, I'm going to call you out on that. That is bullshit. You are more powerful than that. And just helping people to realize like the things we tell ourselves, well, yeah, but I could never do that. Or yeah, but that's hard. It's like, a lot of that is just bullshit that we just picked up over time to protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. So that's a big part of it. And then putting goals into place, putting, you know, action steps into place, breaking down a big goal into smaller steps. And then if it's a one-off session, that would, you know, we would make some type of a plan. If it's a weekly coaching client, then it would be like, you know, here's our action steps. Every week we have a call to follow up, chat about what's progressing and where we need support and all of that. So,
and what about the intuitive oracle readings? That's super fascinating to me.
Yeah. So just in the past couple of months, I've really tapped into kind of my psychic side. And I think we all have a psychic side, but through deep meditations and really getting to know myself and all of that, I've been able to really start to tap into like really deep intuition. So essentially what I do is I use oracle cards as a divination tool, and I'm basically reading someone's energy. So that can be really, it's not so much psychic as in, let me tell you where you're going to be in 5 years and who you're going to marry. Like, it's more like, hey, here's some. Yeah, right. It's like, let's look at what's going on in your energy field and find out any potential blocks that you have. And when I'm stating things in these intuitive sessions and these readings, people are generally like, yeah, no, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. I do feel that way. Yep. I can feel, often when someone has anxiety in their chest, I can feel it in my own chest, like physical pain or like other physical ailments. I feel them in my own body. But the cool thing about it is, you know, it's, you feel seen and you're called out in a gentle way and you feel seen. You say, yeah, those are the things that I have been wanting to confirm. You know, it's a something that I needed to believe in myself more about, and here you are confirming it. So it's really about helping someone to understand where they might have blocks and limitations in their energy field.
I want to do that.
That'd be super cool.
I want to do that.
You can sign up on her Instagram.
Yes. And do you ever with that, do you ever work with people that are like trying to have children or anything?
I haven't specifically had that. No. Although a friend of mine just had a gender reveal last night, and I was like, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I mean, she's having a girl. I've known she's having a girl before she even told us she was pregnant. Like,
wow.
I don't, you know, it's not like a guarantee involved. No right. Psychic is always right, but there's just, you're picking up on that energy field, and it's really interesting, but yeah. I think a lot of the times in that situation, I mean, this is just my personal opinion, I feel like we have a lot of things that do block us mentally from moving forward in those ways. So sometimes there is a way to, in a reading, uncover what those blocks might be.
Oh. Have you ever done, I forget, it was a few years ago, I had my photo taken and it showed like different colored rings around you. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like an aura reading. Is that kind of, have you ever done anything like that? Or have you ever had that done like that experience?
I don't see auras, but it's related. It's a similar thing. It's the same thing. Some people, that's something that they experience. Mine are more like there's the different clairs. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, like clairaudience, clairvoyance.
Yeah. I actually had a drag queen one time that was named clairvoyance, but she was actually a clairvoyance. Like her name was clairvoyance. That was her character. But she was actually a clairvoyance person.
Oh, that's
funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about that.
So clairvoyance is clear visions. You see, like you would be doing a reading and visuals would come through. And I have that a little bit, but not very much. For me, it's mostly clairaudience. Like I hear things. Clairsentience, like feeling people, feeling like physical pain that people have in their bodies and anxieties. And then I'll be like, hey, let's clear this pain in your chest, like right now. Clear empathy, like feeling someone else's emotions. So that's a really big one for me. And that's something where a lot of people experience that, like an empath. You guys heard of like being an empath?
Yeah.
I kind of used to, at first I thought like that was kind of bullshit, but it's really interesting when you start to realize, oh, and this actually has to do with anxiety and depression too. A lot of people experience empathy. Everyone can experience empathy, but a clair empath feels someone else's emotions as if it was their own. So like when I'm doing a reading, sometimes I'll feel that feeling like I'm about to start crying, and then the person will start crying. Like I'll feel their emotions. And so before I learned how to kind of protect myself in everyday life, I was around people and feeling their anxiety and their depression, not knowing, I thought it was my own, right? So for people, that a lot of people have that experience and they feel I'm depressed, I have anxiety, when really it could be they're picking up on the energy of people around them. So it's really interesting.
Now, say like, do you, if someone was to come to you for an oracle reading, do they have to come with an intention? Like, or can it just kind of be like, you know, I'm not really depressed. I don't really feel like I have anxiety right now. I'm just kind of here to see, you know, what presents itself. Or does there have to kind of be a precise intention when coming?
It can be either. So for a lot of people, they have a question about a relationship or a career move or a business move or something like that. But yeah, if they don't, then it would just be me kind of tapping into their energy and seeing what's there. And
cool.
There's so many different things to learn in this whole world. Don't you guys think?
Yes.
literally.
Now, do you do in-person only readings or do you do both, like on the phone, Zoom? How do you do it?
I do all of them over Zoom.
Okay.
Oh, so really? That's cool.
So you don't do anything over, like, you could just feel out somebody like this.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I love that. That's super neat. And it's like helps you be accessible to so many more people, you know?
Yeah. That doesn't limit you.
Speaking of, let's talk a little bit about your podcast, Bare Naked Soul. So when you started it, what, in 2019, correct?
Yeah, 2019.
Yeah. What made you want to do a podcast?
Just loving podcasts, honestly. I think they're so cool. I love, you know, being able to learn and have inspiration and motivation coming at you. And I just think they're awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you found clients through your podcast? Like, you know, obviously outside the Pittsburgh area.
Yeah, I would say that the podcast has been probably the biggest source of people coming to my audience. So definitely one of the biggest sources for clients and followers and different things like that.
That's awesome.
That's really cool.
And your book, you recently published a book. That's super exciting. How did that come about?
Yeah, so it's actually a journal with prompts, and it's something I thought about doing for years. and just never did. And then one day I just had, I kind of had it in my mind for maybe a month or so. And then one day I went to yoga class, and yoga is like a really big place where I practice being in the moment and letting go of thought. And even just in the past year, like a year ago when I was in yoga classes every day, I'd be like, okay, like, God, please let me just be in the moment for this class and let everything else go just for this hour. And I would be in my head, like, come back. And now I feel like, wow, it's the whole yoga class now is just me being in the moment, because I've just practiced it. You know, I've practiced that along with side of it. But yeah, I was in yoga class a few weeks ago, honestly, maybe a month ago. And I thought, I'm going to go home and make a journal, and I'm going to do it right now. And I sat down, I prayed, I said, speak through me, what's this journal going to be? And I just put it out there.
That's wow. Amazing. Well, everyone, you can get Leah's Heal Your Shit journal on Amazon, correct?
Yep.
I love that.
That's so cool. And you self-published through Amazon?
Yep.
That's amazing. I've thought about doing that, and I'm just too chicken shit, but we've talked.
I bet you Leah could help you with that.
Yeah, you're right. I'm definitely booking a session with you. But a guest that we spoke to a couple weeks ago, Sarah Ordo, I just randomly picked up one of her books in Barnes and Noble one day, and she self-published. And she learned from the author of The Champagne Diet, excuse me, who told her that she self-published. And like The Champagne Diet now is, I can't think of her name right now, but she's a huge author and has a huge platform. And it's like, you know, we could do that.
You should put it on your manifestation list for 2022, pal. You're
right, I should.
Along with getting engaged.
Yes. That's right.
That's really funny that you say that, because one of the first people I found 3 years ago was Kara Almoleva from The Champagne Diet. She was
I never remember her name for some reason.
Yeah. And then one of my first podcast guest interviews was Sarah Ordo.
Really?
She was like relatively new at the time. I mean, she certainly didn't have the reach and the following that she has now. This was probably about 2 years ago. So that's really cute.
Sarah was awesome. I loved her.
Me too. Yeah. Like I said, I randomly picked up her book,
30 as fuck.
Is that the first one I read? Yeah. No, I read 30 as fuck was her. 30 as fuck is the first book that I read of hers. And I just like fell in love with her. I read it last summer, and I remember texting Dominique about it and being like, I love this girl. And then we asked her to be on our podcast, and she's like, sure.
Yeah.
She was really cool. Yeah. So that's really, really funny that I feel like I vibe, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome.
Well, Leah, thank you so much for coming on. I feel like you have given us and our audience so many cool things to think about. Do you want to tell our listeners where they can find you, how they can book a session with you, and where all the stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. My everything's under Leah Pardee. If you're on Instagram, it's just Leah Pardee. My podcast is Bare Naked Soul, and my website is leahpardee.com. So if you just type Leah Pardee into Google or Facebook or Instagram or YouTube or anything,
something.
But Instagram has all the links and everything. That's where I'm the most active. So
amazing. Well, thank you so much. And I think we'll probably both be talking to you again soon.
This was super cool. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you guys. This is so fun.
All right. Thanks so much. Take care.
Happy holidays.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Bravo Group Chat.
Please like, subscribe, and leave us a review.
Follow us on social media @Bravo Group Chat.
Tune in every Thursday for a new episode.